Welcome to this deep dive into digital sovereignty. Our mission today is to really explore how you can stop being a digital tenant in someone else's walled garden and, become the architect of your own decentralized library.
Yeah, it's such an important shift.
Right. And we are pulling from some technical guides on open source tools like CoreReader alongside this really fascinating blueprint by designer Phil Warnath.
Think about the toll of seamless reading. Jumping from an e-reader at home to your phone on the train is, well, it's incredibly convenient.
Oh, for sure. It's the best.
But to get that convenience, you essentially pay rent to companies like Amazon in the form of your personal data and privacy.
Yeah.
You're literally leasing your own habits.
Exactly. But the breaking point for Warnath wasn't some grand philosophical awakening. His employer just updated his work laptop's security and blocked all the USB ports.
Yeah, so instantly he was locked out of his Kindle. He couldn't manually plug it in and transfer or sideload his standard ebook files anymore.
Wow, just completely cut off.
Right. So instead of wasting hours fighting a locked-down proprietary system, he just built a resilient one from scratch. He created this three-part triad architecture.
The triad, right.
Yeah, a jailbroken Kindle, an Android Galaxy phone, and a really small virtual private server acting as a hub.
It's kind of like, well, relying on a standard Kindle is like living in a fully furnished corporate apartment. It's comfortable, but you can't even, hang a picture without permission from the landlord.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, so Warnath traded that in to build a custom off-grid tiny home where he actually owns the plumbing.
And the plumbing in this new digital home runs on CoReader, which is an open source reading application.
Okay, so how does that differ from the standard software?
Well, standard e-readers lock your reading progress inside a hidden proprietary database. But CoReader simply writes a tiny readable text file right next to your book file to track your page.
Oh, that's so much simpler.
Yeah, and to move that little text file between his devices, he uses a tool called SyncThing.
Wait, hold on. Warnath mentions in his post that he already runs Nextcloud, right? Which is this massive self-hosted cloud server. So why go through the headache of setting up SyncThing when Nextcloud can easily just do the heavy lifting?
Because Nextcloud is a centralized giant. Using it to sync a 3 kilobyte text file is like hiring an 18-wheeler to transport a single envelope.
Okay, yeah, that is definitely overkill.
Right. SyncThing is peer-to-peer. There's no middleman or central server storing the data. It just connects his devices directly to each other so they mirror the exact same files quietly in the background.
And without draining the battery or memory, I assume.
Exactly.
So this setup feeds into this highly intentional push and pull workflow.
Yeah.
First, you have the continuous sync.
Yeah. So when you finish reading a chapter on the Kindle, CoReader updates that tiny text file. SyncThing instantly sees the change and pushes it directly to the phone and the server.
So you open your phone on the train and it already knows the exact sentence you stopped on.
Exactly. And then there is the pull aspect. Warnes doesn't keep his entire library on his Kindle.
Right. He hosts his book archive on his server using a tool called Caliber Web, which supports an open catalog system. It basically turns his personal server into his own private Kindle store.
Yeah, he browses it directly from his device and pulls down a single book only when he's ready to actually read it.
Which is so smart because staring at a screen loaded with like 1,000 unread books just creates massive cognitive noise. Pulling down one book at a time strips away all that clutter.
It really does. It restores focus to the actual reading experience, and it completely changes your relationship with the text, which brings up a really critical point about legacy.
Oh, the story about his grandfather.
Yeah, it's a striking story. His grandfather passed away and left behind this massive physical library. The physical books survived, of course, but his grandfather's handwritten margin notes and favorite quotes were scattered, disorganized, and, well, ultimately lost to time.
That's heartbreaking. But because Warnath now controls his reading data in plain text, he can write SQL scripts to archive his highlights, back them up permanently.
Right, and protect his legacy without ever asking a tech giant for permission.
He calls this process Type 1 fun. It's the kind of tinkering that is genuinely enjoyable in the moment, not just looking back.
Because you are shaping the technology to fit your life, rather than, warping your life to fit the technology.
I love that. So we'll leave you with this to think about today. If you can fully control and own your reading data today using just a few lightweight tools, what other passive daily habits are you unknowingly renting to tech giants right now?
It really makes you wonder.
Yeah. What piece of your digital life should you reclaim next?